Okay, just for the recording, it's the Father Heart TV webcast, Wednesday, 2nd of May, 2018, and our topic this evening is A Father to You. And I guess this is really, you know, in a sense, this is really my life message. Those of you who know me, you'll know that I've written a book called A Father to You. My website is called A Father to You. And this was, I guess this is really the revelation that has changed my life. And, you know, in one sense, it's foundational, but in another sense, I really believe it's good for us to come back to this regularly, because it is such a foundation, but it's a foundation that we can build on and we can grow on. And, you know, we can allow this revelation to go deeper into our hearts. You know, for me, I guess I grew up in a Christian family. I was taken to church from an early age. I went to Sunday school. I went to a Christian school. It was a boarding school. I had to go to chapel every morning and then twice on a Sunday. And, you know, so like Christianity and the Christian faith was very much part of my life. And then when I left school, I got very involved in the church, enjoyed serving, enjoyed being part of what was going on, enjoyed seeing the life of the Spirit. You know, eventually Fiona and I planted a church in Abingdon. We were on the leadership for a long time. And, you know, I suppose I would call myself a good, faithful Christian, you know, doing... You know, I love God. I had, you know, I wanted to give my life to Him. I knew as a boy, as 10, when I became a Christian, that it was a decision for the rest of my life. And so that there had never been a time really. I mean, I had, a little wobble in my teenage years, maybe a bit of teenage rebellion, but there was never a time that I didn't know that this decision I'd made was for the rest of my life. But it was only really in 2002 when I really understood, I think, or began to understand what Christianity is all about. And, you know, the difference it's made to my life, coming to know that God is my Father. And I believe this is not just for a chosen few. It's not just for the Barrys and the Marks, but this is actually something for all of us, is that we all come to know that God is our Father. We all come to live loved. We all come to know that our lives are held in our Father's arms. And for me, this is such a foundational message. It's just so important, because there's two little words, which I'll come on to a little bit later. You know, two little words which have made such a huge difference to me, and, you know, really transformed my life. It's transformed the way I think about a lot of things, not just my Christian faith, but my working life, my family, my finances. You know, I really believe that this revelation of knowing God as our Father and experiencing Him loving us is a life-changing revelation that changes every single area of our lives. You know, we tend to have this we tend to compartmentalize. You know, we tend to think of our church life, our home life, our finances, our work, and we put them in different boxes. Well, at least we men do. But actually, you know, we are just one, and all of these things are interrelated. And, you know, when our lives are changed by the love of the Father, every single area, every single part of our life is changed. And I believe we go through a transformation, that the love of the Father transforms our life. And, you know, for me, it was like this. Suddenly I saw something with completely fresh eyes, and, you know, everything began to change. And many of you, you know, you've probably heard my story that in 2002, 6 months after we'd come into this revelation and we'd We discovered the truth of God being a father to us. 6 months later, I guess I thought I knew all there was to know about the Father's love. And, you know, I just thought, that's it, you know, I've got it sussed. And then I began to realize I really didn't have a clue. I began to realize I just dipped my toes in the ocean. And here is love, vast as the ocean, is such a truth. That, you know, the moment we feel we've understood the love of the Father, all we've done at that point is minimize it and brought it down to the level of our mind. You see, the love of the Father is limitless. There is no end to it. And as our dear friend Helene King says, there's no end to this journey. It just goes deeper. And, you know, I just really encourage you, don't ever think you've got it, because the moment you think you've got it, you've minimized it and you've brought it down to the level of your mind or your understanding. And it's just so much bigger. You know, there is no, we cannot fathom the height or depth or the width or the length of the Father's love for us. So I want to start really in Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1 verses 3 to 8, where Paul is praying for us and he's talking and he says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. He chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to receive the full rights of sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he has lavished upon us. With all wisdom and understanding, he has made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times reached their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ." What I really want to draw out of those few verses is that before the creation of the world, our Heavenly Father chose you and me. You know, he chose us before the beginning of time and he predestined us. That means he planned it out in advance that we would receive the full rights of sonship. You know, he's blessed us with every spiritual blessing simply because he's our Father and he's always been our Father. And you know, that when I read these verses, to me, it's just like an incredible truth of the goodness of our Father, that he only had one thing in mind, and that was to have a family. And that was to have sons and daughters. That was to have children who would be like his son, Jesus. You know, we were chosen before the beginning of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. We were created to receive the full rights of sonship. And I know that, you know, looking back over my story, that for many, many years, really until 2002, I didn't know what it was to even think about receiving the full rights of sonship. It was like, that was just not something I talked about. It was not something I was taught. It was not something that was modeled in a sense. And it was, you know, it was like, to me at that point in time, it would have been a foreign concept. And I guess for many of us, that's been what it's been like. You know, we've lived our lives working hard to please God or to please our church, and we've sought to do the right thing. And please hear me on this. I really believe we've done it with the right motive and the right intention, and we've done it to the fullness of the revelation that we had at the time. And so, you know, I don't criticize anyone because I've been there. But I believe there is something so much greater for each one of us to experience, and something so much greater for us to live in. That we were created to be sons and daughters. You know, God's plan has always been that we would walk with him, like he walked with Adam and his wife in the cool of the evening. You know, it says in Genesis that he came down out of heaven and he walked with Adam and his wife in the garden. And, you know, if Adam and Eve hadn't sinned, then that intimacy would have continued and we would enjoy it today. If Adam and Eve hadn't sinned, then, you know, the brokenness of humanity wouldn't have rolled through the ages. You know, if Adam and Eve hadn't sinned, then our mothers and fathers would have loved each one of us with a perfect love. You know, we would have experienced the perfect love of perfect parents, because sin wouldn't have entered the world. But we know that sin destroyed everything. But, you know, what I believe the Father is doing is he is bringing us back to his only plan, his original plan, which was for us to live in an intimate relationship with him, for us to live in intimacy as sons and daughters. You know, the wonderful thing is, you know, God, in Genesis we read that God came down and he walked with Adam and Eve in the garden. You know, he was with them, but in a way he was separate from them. But through our redemption, through us becoming born again, through the promises of the inheritance for us, we are in Christ. And therefore, because we are in Christ, we have been taken into Jesus's union with the Father. So for us, we have become one with the Godhead. You know, we have come into the sonship of Jesus Christ. You know, that's our inheritance. That's the life of sonship. You know, and sadly, so many of us don't live that life. You know, certainly for me, that was the case for many, many years. And I want to look at how that can be restored to us, because that's God's plan. It's only ever been his plan. See, God is our creator. He is the source of our life and the source of the very breath that we breathe. You know, he knew us before we were born. He had us in mind before we were in our mother's womb. You know, I've just had the joy in the last few weeks of my first grandchild being born, and just to go and visit my little grandson and hold him and, you know, speak words of life over him and, you know, just give him a cuddle and all that sort of stuff that you do. It's been wonderful. But I've watched my daughter and my son-in-law just living the excitement of the mystery of new birth. You know, for 9 months they've wondered, is it going to be a boy? Is it going to be a girl? They've wondered what this baby was going to look like, what his personality was going to be like. And, you know, they've had this mystery which has now been revealed to them. And of course, as little Asher grows, you know, they discover more of his personality, more of his character, you know, as do we, which is wonderful. And, you know, they didn't really know what Asher was going to be like until he was born. And that will unfold for them over many years, I guess. But God our Father, he knew all about us before we were in our mother's womb. Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 5 says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." You know, wonderful sense that, You know, God is in control. God is the designer and the author of our lives. Psalm 139, verses 15 and 16 says, My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. And, you know, that we have to take those words as the truth, because they are God's words to us. Now, sadly, because of the fallen nature of humanity, you know, many of us have a whole lot of questions over our life and maybe the way we were brought into this world. And, you know, were we wanted by our parents? We often feel rejected and we feel like life has given us a bad turn or something. But, you know, and it's very hard sometimes because of the circumstances of life and because of our background and maybe even because of the circumstances of our birth. We tend to let those things fashion and determine what we believe about ourselves. But I want to encourage you that we need to keep coming back to the truth. And the truth is these words that I've just read, that before we were born, our Father knew us, our Father chose us, our Father, our Heavenly Father, wanted us. And I want to say just as clearly and as lovingly as I can that none of us is a mistake. You know, none of us was solely our parents' idea. You know, I mean, we wanted our children. We chose to have children and, you know, we were looking forward to each one of them being born. And, you know, to us, it seemed like to Fiona and I, it seemed like a good idea. But actually, you know, our good idea was just coming into alignment with the Father's eternal purposes. You know, we're definitely not a work of nature or evolution. But first and foremost, each one of us was created in God's heart and in God's mind. You know, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 9 says that God is the Father of our spirits. You know, it's like he is our original Father. He knew what we were going to be like and he was the one who gave us birth. And he knew what we would look like and how we would behave. He saw our unformed body. You know, it's amazing that he knew what we would be like. You know, I remember when I was at school, I was one of the shortest boys in our class, and you know, I used to get teased because I was short, not tall, like everybody else. And you know, I used to have this prayer that I would pray, and it sort of, God, please make me grow, please make me become taller. And you know, I prayed that for years and years and years and years. And of course, you know, I was still the shortest in the class, you know, when I was 17 and 18. And it was like, you know, this prayer was like, you know, Father, I just want to be taller. And I got to the place, I think, when I was about 18, where I thought, why am I praying this prayer? You know, I am the way I am. And this is how God wanted me to be. And I kind of got to the place of thinking, well, actually, he doesn't mind that I'm only 5 foot 10 and a half instead of 6 foot or whatever, you know. And just that understanding brought me a bit of peace. But, you know, each one of us, God has designed us. He knows the number of hairs on our head. He knows all about us. He is our real Father. And, you know, it's very, very easy to maybe let the circumstances of our birth or conception determine what we think or determine what we feel about ourselves. But we need to keep coming back to the truth that we have a value in our Heavenly Father's eyes, and that is unchanged. You know, that the value that you and I have in our Father's eyes is unchanged since the beginning of time, before the beginning of the world. He is our real Father, and his love for us is way, way bigger than we can ever understand. You know, it's just so vast. He's always, always loved us. He's always been our Father. And, you know, I think one of the problems I think we have is we think that he only started loving us when we became a Christian. And, you know, that's just not the case. You know, if we think that, then his love for us is conditional on a choice that we make. And that's just not the case. You know, even before we became a Christian, he loved us. And the truth is, he loves everybody in this world, even if they will never give their lives to him. Even if they will continue to live in independence, even if they choose not to follow him, he still loves them because he is their Father as much as he is our Father. That doesn't mean to say that we're all his children, and I'll come on and talk about that in a few moments. We have to make the choice. We do have to make the choice to follow him. John 3:16 says, you know, whoever believes in me shall have eternal life. You know, we have to come to that place, each one of us individually, where we come to Jesus and ask him to forgive our sins. And then at that point, we appropriate, we take to ourselves all of our inheritance and the promises of our Father. But, you know, God is the Father. He is the Father of those who are not a Christian just as much as he is our Father. But they haven't taken that for themselves. And they need, you know, like we did, they need to come through Jesus and through the cross. I think because of the fallen nature of the world, we've built up various misconceptions about what fathering is all about. You know, there's a conflict, I think, between who God really is and who he wants to be and who we let him be. You see, we see God through the filter of our earthly parents. And if we've suffered a lot of pain and wounding at the hands of our parents, then we superimpose that onto our Heavenly Father. And so we create all these misconceptions, you know, and we move away from the personal, intimate relationship with God as Father. And instead of him being close and intimate, he becomes distant. Maybe he appears angry. Maybe he appears judgmental. And all of these things, that they are misconceptions based on our experiences with our earthly parents. Yeah, some of the misconceptions we have about fathering are, we think that fathering is a single sexual or physical act. I remember, you know, I was in a church. I was actually doing their accounts one time. I was in this church office, and the pastor of the church came in and just made some comment about a young guy in their town. He wasn't a Christian. He wasn't part of the church, but this guy, sadly, it was almost like a hobby to him, but he loved to get girls pregnant. And particularly girls in the church. And it was just such a tragedy and so sad, really. But, you know, this is what he did. And he had fathered, biologically, he had fathered 16 children. And, you know, as those kids grew up, they would be able to say to their mum, you know, who is my dad? And she would be able to say, oh, your dad is so and so. You know, but that guy had not been a father to those 16 children in any real way other than that single physical sexual act. You know, he had no interest in them. He didn't provide for them. He didn't look after their mothers. He just did his stuff and moved on to the next one. You know, and that can be a very real misconception about what fathering is. It's just that single act, and then we're on our own. And of course, with our Heavenly Father, that's just not the case. You know, our Heavenly Father wants to be involved in our lives. You know, parenting is hands-on. I mean, I've had four kids. I watch my daughter with her little baby. You know, parenting is very, very hands-on. It's very, very personal. It's very, very active and ongoing. And, you know, our Heavenly Father wants to have that personal, active, ongoing relationship with each one of us. It's not just, you know, it's not like we just get born again. We become Christians and then he leaves us and meets us when we get to heaven. You know, it's not like that. He wants to be involved in our lives every day because he is a father. And another misconception we can have is that a father is absent. You know, many, many fathers are absent, either through divorce or separation. In my case, you know, my dad was absent because he was killed. He was killed in a car accident. And so from the age of 10, he just wasn't there. But an absent father is more than divorce or separation or death. You know, an absent father can be at work. He can stay in the office. He can come home late. Even when he's at home, he can be sitting behind his computer. He can be reading a newspaper. He can be watching television. He can be drinking. You know, he might be there, but he might be absent. And, you know, many of us have had an absent father. And that colours, it conditions our view of who or what our Heavenly Father is like. And of course, our Heavenly Father is not there. He is not absent. Our Heavenly Father says, I will never leave you. You know, I am always with you. You know, I am always there for you. I will carry you, you know, as a father carries a son. Our Heavenly Father is not absent. He is always there for us. And those of us who've had absent fathers, we can superimpose that on God and we keep him at a distance. But God wants to reveal himself as the ever-present Father to each one of us. For some of us, a misconception about fathering is that fathering means domination, control, manipulation or anger. You know, again, many of us may have had fathers who were like that. They may have been controlling, manipulating, they may have been angry. And we've lived under that as children, as teenagers, maybe even lived under that as adults. And because that is so conditioned in our hearts and in our thinking, we push that, we superimpose that onto God the Father. And we think that if we don't do the right thing, you know, we won't be able to please him. If we, you know, if we aren't always trying our hardest, then he will be angry with us. Or maybe that he's trying to manipulate us in some way. But of course, you know, God is not like that. He is the perfect Father. And all of these misconceptions can really just cloud our view of who our Heavenly Father is. And we have to come to the place where we recognize that these are lies and these are not the truth of who God is. And we need to move beyond these misconceptions. And we do that when we start to glimpse and experience God being a father to us. See, God wants to be a father to us in an active and ongoing way, on a day-to-day basis. You know, we're not left to muddle through on our own or in our own strength. But he calls us into the shelter of his wings to protect us, to care for us, to provide for us, to nurture us, to lead us in his ways. You know, it's as we come to know that God is our Father, that he is the perfect Father, that some of these misconceptions begin to fall away. You know, one of the things we read in Acts chapter 17 is quite interesting, really. Paul is talking to the Greeks in Athens. And he's been around the city of Athens and he's seen all the idols and all the statues to their gods. And you know, just to make sure they cover every base, they have a statue or an idol to the unknown God. And Paul very cleverly starts talking about the unknown God, and he shows them that who God is, who the true God is, who the God is a perfect Father. And it's very clever that he uses this sort of statue to the unknown God to reveal the truth of God. And he says in Acts 17, verse 24, the God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth. And he does not live in temples built by human hands. He is not served by human hands as if he needed anything. Rather, he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. From one man he made all the nations that they should inhabit the whole earth. He marked out the appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. God did this so they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. As some of your own poets said, we are his offspring. Therefore, since we are God's offspring, we should not think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image made by human design and skill. See, what Paul is saying there is that, you know, even though people don't know it, that they are created by God, that they are God's offspring, and that he knew the times and the places. You know, he knew the time they would be born, the place where they would be born. You know, I often think of that with a little bit of amusement, because I've just had a birthday. I was born on the 30th of April, and I was born at 10 minutes to midnight. Now, when I was born at 10 minutes to midnight, obviously, you know, the midwife who was there for the next few minutes, she was sorting out my mum and everything else like they do. And about 20 minutes after I'd been born, she picked up a piece of paper and she wrote down on the piece of paper, you know, boy born at 10 past midnight on May the 1st. And my dad wouldn't have it. He said, no, he said, I looked at my watch. He was born on the 30th of April at 10 minutes to midnight. See, and I think, yes, you know, God knew, God the Father knew that I was to be born on the 30th of April, not the 1st of May. Yeah, I mean, I just find that quite amusing. But, you know, God knows the times and the places. And, you know, because he chose each one of us, he predestined each one of us. And whether or not we're a Christian, we all come from God. You know, and in a very real sense, he has fathered each one of us, because he has always been Father, because that's who he is. But for each one of us, as I've said, we have to come to that place where we, as Paul says in Colossians, we are rescued from the dominion of darkness and brought into the kingdom of the Son he loves. You know, as in John chapter 1, John says he was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own didn't receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. And, you know, really, what, for each one of us who have, you know, made that decision to give our lives to Jesus, you know, we've been given the right to become children of God. But the problem is, despite being given the right to become children, and that's what we are, many Christians continue to live as slaves or orphans. Many Christians do not know that God is their Father. You know, he remains distant. He's seen through the filter of our earthly parents. And, you know, that's where I was at. You know, I've been a Christian for many, many years. And, you know, in 2002, I had this revelation that I had the right to become a child of God. You know, I'd been given the right to become a son. And, you know, for me, that was just the beginning of all of this being opened up. And, you know, the sad thing is, and I see this so often in my travels, is I see many, many faithful people who are serving the Lord and have given their whole lives to serve him, but they haven't seen him as their Father. And this is, many, many people continue to see God through the filter of their earthly parents. So they see him as distant, they see him as controlling, they see him as angry, they see him as absent. They see it just as like, okay, I've been born again and I'll meet God in heaven. But that's not what our Father is like. That's not what he wants to be to us. See, what he really desires for each one of us, for you and for me, is that we discover our true identity and our true inheritance. That we discover that he is the eternal Father. And the only way for us to experience him being a father to us is to come as a little child. That we can enter into and we can share in the sonship of Jesus. That we are being restored back to the original Adam, to rule and have dominion, to have vision and to have hope. See, at the beginning I said there were two little words that really changed my life. And those two little words are found in 2 Corinthians 6:18, where Paul writes, he says, I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. See, I think for many years I read that verse, and I read it, I will be a father. And I think we all know that God is a father. We know that he is the father of Jesus, and we know kind of that he's a father in name, but do we allow him to be a father to us? See, there's a massive difference between God being a father and God being a father to you. You know, I am a father, but I cannot be a father to you. You know, I can only be a father to my children. You know, you can know that I'm a father. You can hear all about the wonderful things I've done, but I can only be a father to my children. And there's a huge difference. It's a massive difference. And I think many, many people have lived under this knowledge, this head knowledge that God is a father. I mean, we're taught it, aren't we? You know, we're taught the Lord's Prayer. We sing songs and, you know, all of that sort of stuff. And we know that God is a father. But there's a huge difference between knowing that he is a father and knowing that he is a father to you. And it's those two little words, to you, that really changed my life. You know, one day, you know, back in 2002, I felt the Father say to me, Mark, I will be a father to you. And all I can say is I drank those words in. And it was just like the eyes of my heart were opened and I saw something for the first time. You know, I'd been a Christian at that point in time for 30 years. And suddenly it was like the eyes of my heart were opened and I knew that God was a father to me. And those two words, they changed my life, and I promise you they will change your life as well. The Father's love is not an add-on to the gospel. It is the gospel. You know, it's the truth of who he is and who we are. And as the eyes of our heart are opened, so we begin to walk and live as children of God. You see, an add-on will not change your life. But a revelation and an impartation of his love into your heart changes everything. You know, he is loving each one of us now and every moment. And whatever our perception of God is, whatever filters we've put between us and him, he wants to remove, and he will remove them because he wants us to know the truth that he is being a father to us. And I believe just as those two words changed my understanding of who God is, I believe they will change your understanding. It's more than God being your father, but it's the personal, active and ongoing relationship of him being a father to you. See, that promise in 2 Corinthians 6:18, it satisfies the cry of God's heart, which we read about in Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 19, where Jeremiah says on behalf of God, he says, I thought you would call me father, because that's who he is. See, he longs that we would call him father. And, you know, he longs to give us a good inheritance. And that cry of his heart is satisfied by this promise when he says, I will be a father to you. Just a few verses before that in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, we read this. I'm going to read it out of the message. It's verses 11 and 12. Paul writes, Dear Corinthians, I can't tell you how much I long for you to enter this wide, open, spacious life. We didn't fence you in. The smallness you feel comes from within you. Your lives aren't small, but you're living them in a small way. And I believe, you know, I look back on my life and that's what it was like. It was a small life. But there is a wide open space for us to step into and enjoy. And I believe we step into that wide open space when we know that God is being a father to us. He is our real father. He's always been father. He always will be father. And he wants to be a father to you. And I just want to encourage us. We're just going to pause for a few moments. We'll put the music on again. And each of us is on a different place. You know, we've all got our own journey. And each of us is on a different place on that journey. And it doesn't matter where we are on the journey. You know, some of us might have been on this journey with Father for many years. Others, it might be a new thing. It really doesn't matter. But I just want to let's just take a few moments and maybe just put our hand on our heart and maybe just say again, Father, will you be a father to me? And allow him to take you deeper into that knowledge of who he is, that revelation of who he is. Allow him to impart his love into your heart. Because as he does, we begin to know that he's being a father to us, because that's who he is. So Father, we thank you that you are a father. But we thank you that you're more than just a father. You are being a father to us. Father, may those two words change our lives. That you will be a father to us. Father, may the eyes of our heart be opened, that we may see again and afresh your loving fathering of our lives. That you're loving us right now. That you want to be a father to us. That you are a father to us. And Father, may the revelation of who you are go deeper and deeper in our hearts, that we would know your fathering. Father, all those misconceptions we've talked about, Father, I just ask that you would strip away those filters right now, and we would see you as you truly are. That Father, all those things that have come between us and you because of the way our earthly parents were, we just ask you by the power of your Holy Spirit to strip away, so that we can see you with the eyes of our heart in an unfiltered way, that the veil between us and you would be moved. Thank you that you're a father to me and you're a father to us. Thank you, Father.